Well, it's Blur's Day, the upteenth of meh again. Everything is moving around and blurry. So I want to tell you a story. There were two sisters that were terrors at home, school, neighborhood, everywhere but church. There they were angels because that was God's house. Well, with school and church building closed, and the parents were stuck with them day after day without any time away or any church angel break time. So they do what parents do when they are at their wits' ends. They called your pastor and asked her what to do to put the fear of God back in them so they behave. So the pastor said, "Let me talk to the oldest." The parent handled the phone to the oldest, and the pastor quizzed her, "Where is God?" And the oldest said, "At God's house." And the pastor continued, "Okay, but nobody's at God's house. Where is God?" The child didn't know the answer, but knew she was in big trouble. She froze. Her sister could no longer stand it anymore and tugged on her and said, "What's wrong?" The oldest pushed mute and answered her, "The pastor can't find God. She thinks we stole him." Where is God is the question of 2020. Since March, we've been spread abroad from west to east to north and south, to homes and laptops, phones, tablets, Zoom, YouTube, Facebook, and we wonder, where is God when God's house is closed? James Goft had a cartoon in April where the devil is bragging he closed every church, and God is next to him saying, "I opened a church in every home." The wave of blogs and virtual worship guides and streams of emails with requests for rulings from your poor stated clerk about what is real worship or real communion flooded the web and my inbox, Twitter, and Facebook posts. Christians of a certain age will hear the lament in the question from On the Willows from Godspell. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land that our nation and our church and our homes have become? Reverend Joey Lee, the executive presbyter of San Jose, says, "If we complain about the lockdown, try being a refugee." We catch up with the heel grabber Jacob, who just started being a refugee on his way to Haran. He is fleeing his sheltering home and family support because it's not safe to be there. From favorite son and blessed place, everything to go into the desert, he found a place to stay overnight. A refugee, out of sorts, away from home, away from support. There he found God standing beside him, even in the desert into which he fled, even to beyond everything he has known and worshiped and comfortable with. God was with him and will keep him wherever he goes. Jacob named the place Bethel, the house of God. He fled his house and found himself in the house of God. For Christians, the answers to the pastor question is not a place but a person. God acts to make sure that we know he is not housebound to a place by coming as Jesus, or rather, better, Emmanuel, God with us. Where is God when God's house is closed? As Jacob found out, God is standing beside us. God is Emmanuel, God with us. God is not housebound. Jacob may leave home, but God's house goes with him. Psalm 139 has a similar promise, most often heard at funerals and memorials. The leaving is magnified in the verse, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle in the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light to you." God found Jacob in the desert. But this isn't a story about Jacob's ladder to heaven, as it is about God setting his ladder to heaven wherever we are. God is the subject, not Jacob's ladder, but God's ladder to Jacob, not Jacob's ladder to God. See, Jacob did everything he could to build his way to heaven, to grab his peace, to secure his place and his future, his artful deal, swindling his brother out of birthright for a bowl of stool. He tricked his blind father to steal the blessing that was due his brother Esau. He was a heel grabber from birth. Yet there is a reckoning. Today, we find him in the desert, without family, without fortune, without future. This birthright and blessing cut off by the fear of that his brother would be angry and vengeful. His scheming for all left him with nothing. Yet it isn't just us who finds him, but God, who gives him the blessing, not of his father or his family, but to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. God, who replaces his birthright with the promise of a birth of offspring like the dust of the earth. God, who builds Bethel, the house of God, around this homeless refugee. God did this, not all the artful deals of grasping Jacob. We find ourselves like Jacob. The church is stripped of all the things we have planned, prepared, and schemed for over the decades. We have been exiled from our beautiful buildings, even our favorite pew. Eye contact is replaced with faraway stares to where the camera is, and not where we are. Handshakes and hugs are replaced with video smiles and distant waves. In person, even smiles are masked away, and in person means double arm's length, too far to hug. Like a model day babble, our chorus is fractured solos. We sing together alone. Our unison responses, jumbled syllables, scrambled by the tech tubes that connect our eyes, but not our voices. We can no longer receive communion from a neighbor's hand, but take it only from our own. Friends, we are in a desert alone and exiled from all that we had gathered and grabbed over our lifetime to secure our place in our future and our blessing, stripped of that birthright and blessing. What to do? Sir Winston Churchill is credited with first saying, "Never let a good crisis go to waste." He said it in the mid-1940s, as we are approaching the end of World War II. Jacob doesn't waste his crisis. He recognized that he is a guest in God's house wherever he is. Not by his own cunning, but by God's care. That ladder is not a way to heaven, as it is the affirmation that God's work is going on even here as a refugee deserted in the desert. Angels are moving up cares to heaven, and messages are coming down from heaven. The supply chain to heaven is secure, delivering even in the desert, even through Zoom. As Jacob vows to return to the place where God's house is, Reverend Joey Lee also said that when the quarantine hit, changes that he had been working on for years and getting nowhere were made in a weekend. Our tech-friendly, expansive ministry is reuniting the expats, the homebound, the young, the physically and socially distanced, the ones who can't hear but now can turn up the volume or wear headphones, the ones who can't walk but now have church delivered to their screens, the one who works or plays on Sunday mornings, and not forget that this is a place where God comes beside the alone and away into their homes. A ladder delivering grace and inviting a connection to God from wherever you are has been set down to us during this quarantine pandemic. Now, Virginia City Presbyterian Church up the hill has a special part in my life. They put up with me a couple times a month for over a year. God bless them. And I kid them that they still have gas light fixtures because they're not convinced that electricity is here to stay. It might just be a fad. So they're ready to go back. That church, that historic church, that over my dead body change will happen church, hung a video screen in their sanctuary after unanimous approval from their session so that their folks won't be required to touch and pass hymnals and paper. What a faithful response to exile, to make worship connection possible, even in a new way that we do not choose, but where we see that God is making a way. When I heard about the changes in Virginia City, that they were putting up video and using all the electronics to keep their people together, I immediately went to my smart speaker and asked for weather conditions in hell and see if skiing was available. I do not know what the future may hold, but I know who holds the future. Reverend Ralph Anthony said that. I do not know what is coming. I know that plans are made and unmade and remade and changed again and again. I've lost count. I think we're on plan D for Presbytery. But I know the quarantine is a forced demonstration that God's house, God's work in the world is not built on our traditions, our Presbytery plans, our schemes, our empire building, but God is where people stop to rest and find that God is right beside them. Setting up a ladder to heaven where faith climbs and blessing descends. We can keep a faithful attitude that God is present, where we, instead of trying to jam God into where we were, we can be like my mother-in-law, Catherine, who lives in the desert of Sedona on House Rock Road. We can set out our house rock and say, remember, remember, God is here. God is with us. Whenever we stop and look for God, we'll find God is already there. The poet J.P. Paul Horgan, also of Virginia City, says it this way: "The Lord leads us on with tender care, lifting up our burdens to bear. He blesses us as we pass on to what awaits eternal dawn. Though we so often may not see, He's always there and will always be." Amen.